Welcome back, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a great day. A little dreary out there again, but I'm telling you, it's going to get better. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter, at Steen on Sports, or at 1700 The Champ. You can also go to the website, 1700thechamp.com. You can download the podcast, or you can listen to the show live. Want to thank BetMGM. It's always nice to have them in on the show. If you want to sports bet in Iowa, you just need to download the app. It's really easy. Deposit some money and have some fun. Sports betting is it's rocketing up, and especially right now during the NCAA tournament. So join BetMGM and have a exciting sports betting during March Madness. Also want to thank Northwest Bank. Two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. Great bank, great place to work, a great place to get all your services for banking done. They're a member of FDIC. I want to thank everybody that came in yesterday. It's just been jam-packed since we're off on Thursday and Friday because of the NCAA tournament. Would like to bring in, to start the show off, Andrew Steenblok. He is at AndrewSteen75 on Twitter. Andrew, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. You said you've had a pretty good day today, not as crazy as it's been, so that's good.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay, so you gave me some stuff to start with. So let's start with Steve Prohm, since you're an Iowa State senior. You've been through 4 years. Just give me your thoughts on that.
Well, it's definitely a bittersweet moment. I mean, Steve Prohm, he's been my college basketball coach. He's been here my whole 4 years. He also was here a majority of my high school days. So it's always, it's tough to see him leave. I'm going to miss seeing him on the sidelines, tongue sticking out and everything, but all good things must come to an end, and I feel like Iowa State was ready to move in a different direction. So,
you know, the word out right now is you know, I think it was a little premature, but with TJ, Offlesberg.
I'm going to have a hard time with that, too, but hopefully we can
We're going to call him TJ for right now. So I don't think that's a bad hire. I had a couple, you know, my two, I mean, he was in my mix, but my top two were Darren DeVriesen and Moser from Loyola. The problem with both of them are Missouri Valley coaches, and for some high-end Iowa State fans, it may bring back, you know, Greg McDermott memories. The crazy thing about that, and I was talking with a colleague of mine today, that the only place that Greg McDermott hasn't won and won a lot is Iowa State. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, TJ, he spent his last 2 years over at UNLV. Nothing too crazy. I think he's just right around 500, but he was over at SDSU for a few seasons over there, going at 70 and 33, making two NCAA tournaments. I think that he's, you know, able to bring some success in, as well as some experience with Iowa State back in the early mid 2000s. So I think that it could be a good addition. Definitely,
I do too, and still young, known as a really good recruiter. It's the things that we need to see. And yesterday when I was talking to Coach O'Hare yesterday on the show, we were saying that we just need to, I think some of the things that we had that we disagreed with Coach Prohm every once in a while was it just didn't seem like everybody was on the same page. It didn't seem like everybody was running the same system. And if you've learned anything from Iowa State, I mean, it's all about culture, and you see that in the wrestling program, the football program, the women's basketball, you know, volleyball, softball, all those things. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for someone to come in and change the culture a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm hoping for next year, you know, maybe we can get some Hilton Magic coming back. And, you know, I do think that those fans play a big role with getting Iowa State the motivation and the momentum. So I feel like this was an off year, but I'm very excited for, you know, the years to come post-COVID.
Okay, so just in case anybody doesn't know this, my middle son, Andrew, is a Chicago Bears fan, and now your three quarterbacks that you have on the sideline, as of right now, because Mitchell Trubisky does not have a contract, is Mike Glennon, Nick Foles, and Andy Dalton. You have got to be a proud fan today.
I mean, it's tough, but I heard the news that Andy Dalton was going to be bringing over to the Chicago Bears. I just thought to myself, okay, I don't think that it's any better than what we had last year. I don't think it's any worse. I think that we're just kind of in the same spot, if not maybe a little bit better. I do think that Andy Dalton on paper is better than Nick Foles. Sure, Nick Foles has a Super Bowl under his belt, but, you know, Andy Dalton's established himself as a pretty solid quarterback. He's performed well. He has 5 playoff berths. He doesn't have any wins in those games. But, you know, if he can bring the Bengals to a playoff game, I feel like he should have no struggle bringing the Bears team, which I feel is better, you know, just generally better. I feel like, you know, he could be a good addition. And it also helps that next year the Bears will have Tariq Cohen back. I saw a tweet yesterday that Allen Robinson has no intentions on moving. David Montgomery has established himself well as a running part of their offense. I don't think that, and we didn't have to trade away any big defensive players like Roquan Smith to get somebody like a Russell or a Watson.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the one thing I'm still up in the air about is that, you know, the ownership group gave Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, you know, you're going to get another year. What they've done so far up to right here, I don't know if they deserved another year or not, but we'll see. The NFL, you never know. You're always going to have a surprise team. It wasn't like the Chicago Bears got blown out of the games they lost last year. They were in a lot of those games. It's just, you know, they had a hard time finishing, and a lot of that was due to quarterbacking. And, you know, maybe Andy Dalton can change that. I trust him more than any of the rest. Let's do your final four NCAA, and I'm going to give you mine first, and then you can. I've done this twice now. I've done it with two different people on the radio, and I came up almost with the same exact thing in the final four. In one, I have Gonzaga, Baylor, Alabama, and Houston, and I have Baylor winning over Alabama. And the other one, I have Gonzaga, Baylor, Alabama, and Illinois. And I have Gonzaga beating Baylor. What's your final four look like?
Yeah, so my final four is looking, so I have Gonzaga and Texas, and then Baylor and Illinois. And then I'm having Baylor and Gonzaga play. And I'm thinking that Baylor is going to be winning the NCAA championship.
Man, that would be crazy. You know, and that was something that I've talked about. I talked about it with Kevin Lehman. I talked about it with Kevin O'Hare. I talked about it with a couple other people, too. That, you know, when you're talking Scott Drew and you're talking Chris Beard, who are two really good coaches in the, the Big 12, and you look at jobs that are open, the Indiana job's open, and the Iowa State job is open, but, you know, you're not going to go from the Big 12 to the Big 12, and I get that. But when you're looking at, like, the Indiana job, and there'll be other jobs that pop open that are in a Power 5, do you think Chris Beard and Steve Alford. Oh my goodness. Scott Drew are happy in Baylor and Texas Tech? Or if you had to pick one, which one do you think might move first?
Well, I mean, I'd have to assume that the guy's pretty happy over at Baylor right now, coming off of a great season. I don't think that, you know, anyone's tied to a Texas Tech. I feel like that one might probably be the better move. But I feel like, you know, over at Baylor, you have a pretty established program. You're making good strides on the one seed in the tournament. I feel like there's kind of nowhere to go but up.
Here's on a happy note for both you and I, and we both love, and we'll talk a little bit about the Players Championship here too from last week, and then have another great tournament this weekend too. Tiger Woods home in Florida recuperating now, which is, I mean, that's it. You have no idea if he's ever going to recover all the way, but at least he's you know, not in a hospital stay for 6 months either. So I hope that's good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was reading his letter that he put out, and I kept reading it and saying if it said anywhere in there that there's going to be a return to golf. He never said golf explicitly, but he just said that he's recovering and getting stronger. So we'll see what that means in the mind of Tiger.
And how much fun. So Zach and I, we got to watch, I know you and Nate went golfing, but Zach and I got to watch most of the Players' Championship, and it was really fun. It was nice to see JT win. I think we're all JT fans. I'm a Bryson DeChambeau fan. I know you are a little bit too, but I have to give Lee Westwood. I mean, he's playing some of the best golf, and he has his fiance on his bag. That's kind of cool.
It is, yeah. And then I saw also he's going to be having, so his wife is, or fiance is going to be retiring from the caddy job, and then he'll be having his son caddy for him at the Masters, which is just awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine caddying for your dad over at Augusta.
And that's not very far away, man. That's Easter weekend. So that is – all right, so let's jump in to the NBA. And here's my first one with the NBA too. Boston Celtics coach is, you know, he's an Indiana guy, Brad Stevens, and the Celtics aren't doing very well. My thought process on the Celtics not doing very well – is it seems like their whole entire team is like the same piece. You know, they don't have any variance in their lineup because they're all kind of the same guys that all want to do the same thing. Do you think what's more prestigious for Brad Stevens, the Celtics job or going to Indiana and maybe saving Indiana, who hasn't had a very good basketball year in 10 years?
Right. If I'm Brad Stevens, I am staying with the Celtics. I feel that they're still, you know, one of the best teams in the East, and they're still a playoff contender. I feel that they're just a couple of pieces short. They just have to figure out their chemistry, really. I mean, they're having Kemba Walker's not playing the best right now at the point guard role. But once he kind of figures it out, they still have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Marcus Smart's a great role player. I'm not sure if Tristan Thompson is going to be their center long-term going forward, but a couple of pieces here and there to fix. I don't think it's worth abandoning ship for Brad Stevens quite yet.
Okay, and I'm with you. I think there's talent there. I also think that the fact that Danny Ainge is there, he's willing to make moves. He's shown that in the past. So I agree with that. I'm wondering, and I wanted to ask you this one, when are the Lakers going to realize that maybe Talen Horton Tucker is not a bad person to have on the floor for more minutes?
Yeah, I think that what's helping this case the most right now is that Alex Caruso has been out for a couple of games with a concussion protocol. So he's been getting near 30 minutes a game, and he's been performing and he's been getting the job done. I mean, he had his first double-double his 2 games ago with, I think, 16 points and 10 rebounds or 10 assists. And then he came back last night and had 18 points and 7 rebounds, 4 assists. I mean, once he has the minutes, he produces. And I feel like Frank Vogel and the Lakers are seeing that, and I feel like they're going to have to find a minute somewhere.
Yeah, I do too. And you know, they're looking – you know, without Anthony Davis being there, giving him extra minutes to get him ready, I think is a great idea. You and I have talked a little bit about Damian Lillard, put up another 50 spot last night. If I gave you Damian Lillard and LeBron or Steph Curry or the field, who would you take for the MVP?
You know, I think that I have to take the field only because it has Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic in it.
Yeah.
They've been my MVP favorites since the beginning of the season, just because I want to see a big guy win it again. But if I wasn't a little bit more biased towards the big man, I think that I would be taking Damian Lillard. He is just playing at an unreal level. He is he's definitely a top two point guard in the NBA right now. He's probably the most clutch player in the NBA. And just a fun player to watch.
And it shows how much him and Steph Curry, who sometimes people don't think they get along, they actually do. And he said even last night, you know, after doing what he did, he said, listen, I'm not even in Steph Curry's league when it comes to just pure shooting. He goes, I have range, but I don't have his shooting ability. And I thought that was very interesting. It moved Damian Lillard up in my book. I kind of agree with you, and I think there may be a dark horse out there. I think people get a little bit, even though LeBron doesn't win it every year, I think they get a little fatigue of LeBron, so they're looking for somebody, but Embiid getting hurt and being out for 2 weeks is going to hurt him a little bit. But it'll be interesting to see, kind of where they go. But I still think the Lakers are the team to beat in the West. What do you think?
You know, it's going to come down to can Anthony Davis stay healthy. It's hard for me to bet against the Jazz right now as the team to beat because, they've proven themselves as the best team in the league right now.
And they're healthy.
Right. And I still do think that the Lakers are going to be the team to beat, but it's just, playing the Jazz in a 7-game series, possibly in the Western Conference Final, that could be a tough feat for the Lakers.
All right, buddy. Hopefully enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, and hopefully I'll get to see you this weekend, and have a good night. Welcome back. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope everybody had a great day. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports. Go to the website, 1700thechamp.com. You can download the podcast, and you can listen to the show live. And getting to listen today means after a 3-week hiatus, because he's a little busy, Mr. John Schaefer, sports director at WOI5. He is at, let me pull it over here, Jay Schaefer, WOI on Twitter. This show is better when you're around. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. You know, it gets a little crazy with wrestling and basketball and more basketball and now more basketball.
Yeah, I wanted to get your comment on this, and it was a big deal. I think kudos have to go to the Girls Association, the Iowa High School Association, Wells Fargo, the student athletes, the coaches, the fans. Nobody thought it would be pulled off. Nobody thought it would be a success. Nobody thought there could be fans, and they did it all, and it worked.
Yeah, it was impressive, and I got to, like you said, give everyone kudos for accomplishing it. Wrestling was certainly an undertaking, and they responded the right way with basketball for both girls and boys. And man, do we have some great tournaments too?
Oh, and some talent, John. this state has changed over the last 15 years. Just how many? It could be any D1, D2, D3, anything. It's changed how people now come to the state of Iowa to watch our athletes play.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you look at the girls tournament, and you've got like a handful of Division I players next year that are playing in that title game between Waukee and Johnston. You've got the boys game across a couple of different of those classes, future D1, D2 prospects. And every game was entertaining, especially in that boys tournament. Every championship game was close until the last minute and a half, 2 minutes.
I have to give some kudos to John and I, by the way, because last year during this time, John and I were saying that Bowen Bourne was going to be a success in college no matter where he goes. And he went to UNI, and then we both said, well, he's going to make UNI better, and people still didn't believe us. And when you become the Missouri Valley newcomer of the year and you play on a team that didn't have their best player and you play as many minutes as he did, Bowen, we have to say, because you and I have been on the Bowen bandwagon for a long time.
Yeah, that's right. And Bowen is obviously, you helped Blake for how you and I season ended down at Arts Madness.
Oh, yes.
But that team's going to be back in a big way next year. And I also want to point out, we've been on the Caitlin Clark bandwagon for like 3 years, okay?
Okay, and the fact that
we called her being top tier way back in like 2018.
The fact that she... And what she did this year at a number 5 seed in the Big Ten, and she's not on the first team All-American when the highest score on that is 19 points a game is ridiculous. But it doesn't matter. But I hope continued success. She is, and she's must watch TV. I think my wife and I, every time we can, either we listen to it or we watch it, just because you just want to hear and you want to see it.
Yeah. And what's fun about it is Lisa Bluter does not look shocked by a thing that Caitlin Clark does. Caitlin Clark looks shocked by some of the things she does now. And it's funny because she's hitting it from 6 feet outside of NBA range like it's no big problem. And so I'm really hopeful that Iowa, with that 5 seed in the NCAA women's basketball tournament, can make a run to the Sweet 16, because they'll run into UConn, and I want to see the Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clark showdown.
Oh, I do too. I want to see that. And I know they played in AAU, and I actually think that they're friendly because they've just been in so many tournaments together that it's just going to be really interesting. Before we jump in on the Iowa State situation, I wanted to talk. You know, you've had a couple of Iowa basketball players kind of come on Twitter. There's been a lot more from other teams, as well as the High School Association here did. And when you're talking about college students, it's much different. And, man, they are locked in, not able to go anywhere unless they're out of practice, which is by themselves. I saw they got to go outdoors for a little bit today, which is good. Not a lot of hotel great food coming up to them. It's not the greatest conditions that you've ever saw in the bubble. It's definitely not like the NBA bubble was, but you know, people need to realize when they're watching these games that this has not been easy for any of these kids or coaches.
No, and you know, I think that's the interesting thing when we're talking. Jordan Bohannon has obviously been the most vocal and the one of notoriety out of the state of Iowa, and J-Bo is going to be that way. I mean, he's been that way the last few years, but you know, talking with Drake today and talking, even hearing from Luca Garza earlier this morning, both said, you know, this is, it's not that different from what they've been doing on campus and in their school cities. It's just a little different because they don't have that necessary freedom of like leaving the hotel. And again, I get it. It's different. It's frustrating. You're in a different headspace when you're in an NCAA tournament. Like you said, they got to go outside and play a little bit of wiffle ball. The Iowa Hawkeyes did. But at the same time, you know, I see where they're coming from. I do. I get it. Like, give me a goodie bag of 18 different deodorants and think I'm going to be happy. But on the other hand of that, Jordan, you don't have to be there. If you don't want to be in the bubble, you can leave. You can go home. I mean, but, you know, it's not a situation where, to me, it's like, okay, I get you're not paid and we need to work on that, but you don't have to be there.
Right. And that's, I think that's probably the part. And they're between him and Connor McCaffrey, they're older and, you know, just feel like it's, you know, you're not going to hear, I guarantee you, you're not going to hear Lucas say any of that. Because number one, he knows that as soon as he says something like that, the first person that's going to say something to him is his dad and say, yeah. We don't do that. You know, if you want,
well, and Luca meditates a lot too, so I'm sure he doesn't mind that quiet time.
Oh, I agree, and I think that's probably a good thing. You know, and it's gonna be fun. And the interesting thing is just the different dynamics of where all these people, all the teams are going to be playing. You have some teams playing in high school gyms. You have some teams playing in some gyms that are so old and renowned. And then you have teams that are playing in open air. I mean, just open, like playing in the Unidome or playing. It's going to affect people differently. It was almost as important where your seating came in to where you're playing some of these games.
Yeah, and Steve, I've said it a couple of times to a couple of different people. Pay attention to who's playing inside of Lucas Oil Stadium, because if the Big Ten tournament is any indication, and history is any indication, three-point shooting teams tend to struggle a little bit more in those large football stadiums because of the different depth perceptions and the angles, the viewing angles that they have on the floor. Just, it's different. And you see 3-point shooting drops drastically. At least the, you know, attempts versus makes, it's going to be a little bit of a drop off there. So it's going to impact some of the teams that maybe rely on that 3-ball a little bit more, but you know, it's going to be cool seeing teams in Hinkle and playing where, you know, the Hoosiers do regularly. And it's a state that embraces basketball so much. And I think that's the cool part about it just being bubbled in Indianapolis this year, but I'm excited for it to get out of the bubble and the aspect of showing off some of these other great host cities that we've seen over time.
Once again, we're talking to John Schaefer. He's the WOI sports director, WOI 5. He's at J Schaefer WOI. Before we head to the coaching aspect here, I just wanted to mention, I saw it come across today. Jeff Jackson's the new commissioner of the Missouri Valley Conference. I like the hire because I think he understands that they have to do something to promote the Missouri Valley to get it to a point where you don't have to do something amazing to get two seats. And I hope that he can do that. He's young, has a lot of contacts. Hopefully he can help the Missouri Valley try to be, if you're having a good season, trying to be more than a one or two team, you know, getting into the NCAA playoffs.
Yeah, and he's got some work to do to kind of repair the MVC image after the way their tournament ended. And a lot of people were not happy with that, obviously. But, you know, he steps in and he's taking over the top mid-major league in the country, in my opinion. And I think, you know, this year we've seen the MVC prove that they are a two-bid league, regardless of what everyone else wants to say. I mean, even if Drake is a first four game, they're still in the field of 68. Loyola is underseeded, in my opinion, an 8 or 9? They're on that 8-9 line somewhere in there. And to me, they should be a 6 or a 7. And so it's not really fair to Loyola getting that draw the way they did, because they're an extremely good team. But you're right. I think, you know, announcing somebody like this, it's going to be very present for this conference and do a lot of good things. And you got to remember, it's not just basketball necessarily.
Yes.
So it's a big deal, and the premier FCS football conference as well.
And I think the first thing is, St. Louis, you have some splaining to do. So that'll be the big one, to see if they go back and what happens there. Okay, so let's dive in here. We have been together with Coach Prohm together and talked to him and had all kinds of interaction with him. I cannot say enough good things about the person, and I even changed my mind from like 4 weeks ago. I'm like, okay, listen, the kids still look like they're listening. He hasn't done anything wrong. You got coaches all over the country that are doing stuff that are getting their institutions in trouble. Maybe you don't make a switch, but after listening to Jamie and seeing what kind of the pain he was going through, I get it. But now you have to try to figure out, you know, how many more basketball hires do you get? How many, you know, you only get a certain amount. And Jamie Pollard has more cash in his little inside bank for all the things he's doing. But you have to hit one out of the park here.
Yeah, and I think it's a slippery slope to an extent, because, again, the program's in a little bit of disarray. First off, it was the right move. As you said, it stinks to see Steve Prohm go, because he's such a good human being and always first class in that department. But to me, it's going to be Ots. That's kind of been my prediction from the get-go, even before the firing of, or the parting ways with Steve Prohm. The writing was kind of on the wall there 6 years ago when they were trying to replace Fred. It didn't work out at that time. And Ots has more head coaching experience. I know there are a lot of fans out there that are saying Ots can't be the guy, it's a lazy hire. In my opinion, Ots has been one of the best recruiters Iowa State's seen. You got to remember, he was at the forefront of getting some of those names in under Fred Hoiberg. And so, he hasn't had a lot of time to turn around UNLV, and by no means are the Rebels a program that everyone seems to want to remember them as in the 90s of that greatness in basketball. So it'll be an interesting takeover if Ots is the guy. There is that one article out of Las Vegas that says he is, but I'm not going with anything until I get something official.
Yeah, I agree. And it's hard to be like those UNLV teams, because now, you know, all colleges can hand out the same amount of money that UNLV could back in the day, John, which was a lot if you read all the books out there. So I wanted to, with Porter Mosier and Darren DeVries, being in the Missouri Valley, for someone like Iowa State, is that a... we can't do that hire again because we did that with Greg McDermott. And even though Greg McDermott didn't work at Iowa State, he's worked elsewhere. Is that part of the whole Missouri Valley thing just with Iowa State? Or do you see that there's going to be avenues that the Missouri Valley coaches can move on? Not that I want them to move on, by no means. But I'm just saying that they're both talented enough and have turned programs around so well that they deserve a chance to at least interview.
Yeah, and I think Jamie is not afraid to dive into that just because of what happened with McDermott. You got to remember, it was a tough go for him, but look at what he's done at Creighton, you know. And it's not to say Creighton is Iowa State and the Big East is the Big 12, but I think that Mosier and DeVries at least deserve interviews, because you can't just turn away to what the job Darren DeVries has done in 3 years, you know, at Drake. And but you still have to ask that question: can they recruit for a Power Five school? You know, can they do that at a top tier program, or a program where it's expected you're competing for Big 12 championships every year? And I think both deserve that opportunity. Certainly, is it right now? I'm not sure. Is Darren DeVries wanting to leave Drake?
Not sure. I don't think so.
You know, I think he loves his group of guys, and on top of that, they're all coming back next year.
Yes, and he had his son. So there you go.
Yeah, and so, I mean, there are a lot of opportunities there. I'm sure Darren will get some calls, but at the same time, that's a job he's been wanting for a long time. And so to finally get it, I don't think he's just going to throw it away at the first big offer that comes his way at some Power 5 school.
All right, we got about 30 seconds left. Indiana or Iowa State right now, which is a better job compared to like 5 years ago? 5 years ago, I'd have said Iowa State was a better job, but I don't know if I could say the same thing.
I think Indiana's a better job just because you've got there's high pressure, but you're in the Big Ten. It's a job that carries a lot of notoriety, a lot of tradition with it. Not that Iowa State doesn't, but you're talking the Hoosier State versus a state that waffles between Hawkeyes and Cyclones.
Absolutely. And just so Brian Harden understands that John and I are not saying anything about Coach DeVries leaving.
No.
We want him to stay here. But I am a Cyclone fan, so I wanted to kick the tires. So just
at least
know
you can keep him in state that way, right?
Exactly. Hey, buddy, I appreciate it. It's been too long. I will get back with you next week. We're on Tuesday, Wednesday next week, so I'll get with you. Welcome back. Happy Wednesday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter at Steen at Steen on Sports and Twitter at 1700 The Champ. I'm going to get going right now because I got 11 minutes with this next guest and I want to get them all through. Mason Heckman, he is at... Where are you at? He's at Mason Heckman on Twitter. He's been a part of this NCAA for a few weeks now. I love having him on the show. Mace, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Okay, I'm just going to rapid fire some of these out to you and just see what you think. On the top four seed level, do you think anybody was grossly underseeded or overseeded?
Just for the four ones or for anybody, one through four. I think Oklahoma State, somebody that stands out on the four line that they could have easily been in front of. West Virginia committee did a lot of questionable things with things like Drake being behind Georgetown and Oregon State. But as far as teams on the one through four, I think pretty good. Oklahoma State's probably the one that stands out more than anybody.
The only other two that I had is Michigan with an injury and Virginia not knowing. I think they're going to have everybody there.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Virginia is only having two practices before they get Ohio. So that's going to be an interesting one. I'm sure a popular 13 over four. The thing about Michigan is just if you look at the body of work, they've done way too much. I agree, though, without Isaiah Livers, they're going to be probably the first one to go, without a doubt.
And I agree. Totally. They, as a whole, throughout the whole season, totally deserve a number one seed. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, when you're looking and you're trying to, let's say, sports bet your way through, that's a tough one to bring through all the way. Let me get a quick one on Drake, Wichita State, an old Missouri Valley kind of throwback, which is kind of cool. You think the Bulldogs getting their leading scorer and leading rebounder back have a shot?
I do, because I think Wichita State's probably the most fraud Super 7 conference regular season champion. They were lucky to have that because of the shortened season. So I think Drake has a real shot to beat Wichita State. They're 74th in KenPom, and really nothing stands out as far as Wichita State. Yes, you look at their conference AAC championship in the regular season, but 56th in offensive efficiency and 103 in defense. I don't see why Drake doesn't have a shot. They're favored to win.
I love that, and I hope that happens. Okay, I'm looking through my bracket here, and I can't find so the other play-in games. It's Michigan State versus
UCLA.
UCLA. Did you ever think? I mean, think about from. I mean, in my time, I really got really started watching the first true Final Four game I remember watching was Larry Bird, Magic Johnson in '79. I've watched others before, and then I became a Jabbar fan, so I went back and you know went through and watched some UCLA stuff and some David Thompson stuff at North Carolina State. But I could never imagine having Michigan State and UCLA being a play-in game.
It's such a cool narrative. I'm surprised that they made it the very last game of the night, starting at 9:57 Eastern. But it's a really cool dynamic to have a Michigan State team that we weren't even sure was going to get in. And so, no, I like it. I like it a lot.
In your Final Four, don't tell me who they are yet, but do you have more or less number one seeds than two?
Over.
I've got
three.
Wow. Chalk Mason. Now I'm scared.
I'm scared to say it, but when you look at really what everybody's been doing with their bracket, it's a common theme where I just don't know on some of these twos and threes, are they really good enough? I don't know. There's one region in particular that the one is going to go. We already mentioned Michigan,
right.
But the rest of them are hot.
Okay, so if you let's go through it, because I'll ask you. We'll get to that point, but I think Michigan, Florida State. I think that may be where Michigan gets taken down. I think they can beat LSU, but I think Florida
even
State,
an LSU Bonaventure game.
Yeah,
I mean that's
tough.
That LSU team is absolutely loaded.
And
Bonaventure
biggest,
is really good too.
That might be the closest pick'em game in the tournament. There's a few mm-hmm. of these first round ones.
And some of these seedings, you talk about the ones. Illinois has to deal with most likely Loyola Chicago, who should not be an 8 seed. They're top 10 at KenPom, which they shouldn't be seeded based off of that. But it's a Loyola Chicago team that could easily be a 6 or a 7. And now Illinois has to go through a gauntlet with Oklahoma State on the 4, who I mentioned earlier being underseeded. So that could be an interesting one, too, to watch.
It is. And the bad thing for Illinois is, you know, Loyola's like, hey, we're here too, and we're going to prove this. And I do think Illinois is loaded, though. Boy, they're fun to watch. I mean, they just I almost called you during the Iowa game and just said, you know, this is where Nungy was missed because Garza was gassed. I mean, he just didn't have anything mm-hmm. left, and Illinois took advantage of that.
This Illinois team is loaded. That's why we had them preseason favorites out of the Big Ten, even over Iowa. We knew Iowa Sumo was going to come along, and Trent Frazier's been hitting huge shots for them. Curbelo's not playing like a freshman one bit, and Coburn, obviously, they've got two high-level first and second-team All-Americans for a reason, and it was cool to see them hitting their stride at the right time.
In my bracket, I think one of the most interesting games, and I have two of them. Number one is Texas-Alabama. I can't wait to see that game. And number two is Texas Tech-Ohio State. I think that is, I mean, that's just gold on TV.
You got Tech getting past Utah State and Arkansas?
I do.
I love this Texas Tech team. I really like Chris Beard. I mean, they play hard. They're scrappy. I'm excited to see what type of tournament performance we can get out of Mac McClung, but the one thing that scares me is they need Kyler Edwards and Terrence Shannon to be able to produce at a higher level and get scoring from the guards. But no, if this Texas Tech team can get by, I don't see why they can't beat Ohio State. It's a small Ohio State team.
Yeah, I agree with that one too. So I think we, even though I think Iowa playing, if they get Gonzaga to go to the Final Four, I think that playing them already in the year, I think that helps Iowa. I still don't know if not healthy, and they're playing a bunch of games in few days. If you told me C.J. Frederick and Joe Wieskamp are healthy and can go 30 minutes, I think I would pick Iowa to upset them, but I just don't think they're healthy enough to do that, and I think Gonzaga is probably too talented.
Gonzaga, yeah, and getting tested in the West Coast Conference Championship was the best thing that could happen for them. Another thing you talk about, what the committee did, why the heck they did Iowa as the 2, Kansas as 3, Virginia as the 4 teams that Gonzaga beat by double digits in the regular season makes absolutely no sense. But if Iowa, the biggest thing that scares me is Oregon in the second round.
I do too.
It's an Oregon team that should not be on the 7 line only because they lost to Oregon State in the Pac-12 tournament. But, no, I really like that chance for Iowa to get back at Gonzaga. I'm not going to say that I'd pick Iowa there, but I think they've got a good shot if they can get past the round of 32.
I do. I think if it's all dependent on health and how many minutes they can get out of those guys. Okay, give me your final four.
Final four: Gonzaga, Baylor, Illinois, and Alabama.
Okay, and I was very pleased with my Alabama pick, and I'm glad that you picked it too. I've heard on radio all day, well, Alabama plays in a fake SEC, they're no good. And I'm like, when you haven't played against them and you have to just look at tape and then you have to go at them for that long a time, I don't know. Teams are going to be surprised about how good they are.
It's a fun team to watch. People are going to love them if they haven't been watching much of SEC basketball, because they'll shoot 30 plus threes and they have the opportunity to make 15 plus of them. And if they do that, good luck beating them. They're number two in defensive efficiency and they play at an extremely high tempo. So even if they are missing some of those shots, they can still hang around and be in it, which makes them a lot of fun to watch. If they're hitting shots, they are easily a team that could surprise people and win it all.
Okay, this has been a sleeper, and I wanted to ask you about this too, because if anybody knows this, you do. How fun a game is it going to be to watch Arkansas and Colgate play?
This Colgate team is interesting. Just one loss, and Musselman's done a fantastic job at Arkansas. There are a few of these games that I just look at, and I'm like, Colgate could somehow beat them, and I wouldn't be shocked. But also, Arkansas, if they win, just as easily we talk Texas Tech, Ohio State, I could see Arkansas playing Baylor to get to the Final Four.
I get it. Okay, give me your two finalists.
Two finalists? I'm going to go Gonzaga-Baylor. Everybody's on the Illinois train, so I'm going to go Gonzaga-Baylor.
All right, and who you got winning?
Gonzaga. I said it back in the summer, so I'm sticking with it this entire time. I love this Zags team. Got to take them.
All right, so the show is on Tuesday and Wednesday next week. I will text you later. I need to have you on one of those so we can at least go over what happened up to that point. Love having you on. Your knowledge is unmatched, my friend. Thank you.